Hello, I'm Christopher Badger.
And I'm Mark Davis.
We're barristers at Six Pump Court and would like to welcome you back to the Environmental Law News Podcast, brought to you in association with LexisNexis.
Thanks, Chris. After a long pandemic-enforced hiatus, in this podcast, we'll be looking at the Shell and Friends of the Earth case from the Netherlands, the results of the Environment Agency's Waste Crime Survey, and the Court of Appeal's decision on fluff.
So, first up, and it's been big news, the Dutch case against Shell.
Yes. Now, headlines have certainly been grabbed by the case against Shell, where the Court of First Instance of The Hague has ruled that the company has an independent obligation to reduce its CO2 emissions by 45% by 2030 compared to 2010 levels and to zero by 2050 in line with the Paris Agreement.
Absolutely. And the case, of course, owes a debt to the Agenda case for the principle that the state has a positive duty under human rights law to act against climate change. But the legal basis of this latest judgment is novel in the way that it utilises Dutch private law to extend this principle to apply international human rights law to Shell in a way that could potentially, in future, be applied to all companies, no matter size, sector, operational context, property relations or structure.
Indeed. So, you know, potentially a vast application here. And the basis for it is that the Dutch Civil Code stipulates that tortious behaviour can consist of what, according to unwritten law, is contrary to what is required in social interrelations. Now, from a UK perspective, it's an amazingly broad interpretation of what can be unlawful. And the court in the Netherlands has used this part of the Dutch Code to hold that Shell are under a duty of care to reduce all its global emissions, because these will increase global temperatures and hence harm Dutch citizens.
And in making its finding, the court relied on a list of 14 relevant elements, including that global warming beyond 1.5 degrees C will heavily impact upon human rights, which is consistent with the finding and agenda, and that corporations must respect human rights and do their share to reduce climate change and its effects.
Now, we should say, before there is concern that the court has targeted Shell as simply a fossil fuel company, that the court did acknowledge that Shell cannot solve this global problem on its own, but that it was not absolved of its individual partial responsibility to do its part regarding the emissions of the Shell group, which it can control and influence.
Yes, the court stated that Shell has what it referred to as an obligation of result to reduce the emissions directly resulting from its activities, what the court called scope one emissions, and an obligation of best efforts to reduce the emissions resulting both from the production of the energy used by the Shell group, scope two emissions, and also from its consumers, yes, you guessed it, scope three emissions. Perhaps importantly, the court has given flexibility in allocating emission cuts between scopes one, two, and three, so long as in aggregate, total emissions are reduced by 45%.
Well, perhaps unsurprisingly, this isn't likely to be the end of the road for this case, and Shell has already announced its intention to appeal the judgment, and it will be fascinating to see how far the Dutch Appeal Court will go in upholding the decision and the distinction between the two types of obligations. The legal status of environmental targets, whether they are absolute or merely require reasonable efforts, also remains a really live issue for many governments.
But in the meantime, Shell hasn't been let off the hook. The Dutch court made its decision provisionally enforceable, so the company will be required to meet its reductions obligation, even as the case is appealed.
Yeah, it's absolutely going to be one to watch, that one. But anyway, on to the Environment Agency's National Waste Crime Survey.
Now, this survey recently reported its results, with the intention of assessing the impact of waste crime on the waste industry, landowners, farmers, and associated sectors. The intention of the report is to investigate how regulation can more effectively combat the growing problem of waste crime. And the Environment Agency is due to publish its findings about it in the autumn.
As if farmers didn't have enough to worry about with the weather in this country, waste crime as well. Now, whilst the survey was commissioned by the agency, it was supported by the Chartered Institution of Waste Management, Environmental Services Association, the United Resource Operators Consortium, and of course, the National Farmers Union. And all told, it elicited 836 responses.
Perhaps unsurprisingly, For those responding, the issues of most concern were large-scale fly tipping, with 55% of respondents estimating that this had increased over the past 12 months, and illegal waste sites. The economic impact of waste crime was cited as the biggest problem. 73% of respondents reported that they had covered the financial cost of cleanup, and 58% experienced disruption to their business as a result. Nearly 3 out of 10 people impacted by illegal exports of waste or illegal waste sites had incurred over £50,000 of costs in the last year. And respondents estimated that only 25% of waste crime incidents are reported to the Environment Agency. Waste industry employees estimated that 18% in their industry sector committed some form of waste crime.
Some quite really shocking figures there. And commenting on the survey, Malcolm Lithgow, who's the head of waste regulation at the agency, stated that waste criminals show complete disregard for communities and the environment, and they need to know we are ready to take action. Last year, the EA prosecuted nearly 100 individuals and companies for waste crime offences, with fines exceeding £900,000. There were 28 custodial sentences and £1 million worth of confiscation orders. Now, very good work indeed, you might think. But as the survey shows, waste crime is on the rise, and so there is clearly more to be done.
The survey, which was launched in March, came just over a year after the agency launched the Joint Unit for Waste Crime in January 2020. The unit, which was set up to tackle serious and organised crime, has facilitated multi-agency operations, intelligence sharing and enforcement. The Week of Action, tackling waste and metal crime in October 2020, saw joint operations between the Environment Agency and the British Transport Police, in which over 1,100 vehicles were stopped, 550 sites were visited, 29 were arrested, and 150 offences were detected. The agency will use the survey results and the insights they offer to inform its enforcement action and sector engagement. This includes increasing awareness of waste regulation and the role of the Environment Agency amongst customers, businesses, and impacted communities. But anyway, on to what sounds like it should be a rather lighter final story, Mark. What's this about fluff?
Yes, well, sadly, fluff is a bit of a misnomer. Let me explain. The situation where landfill operators create cells lined with thick, impermeable membranes to prevent leachate from seeping out of the cells and into the ground. All very sensible. But then, in order to prevent any sharp objects from protruding through the impermeable membrane, landfill operators place a layer of fluff, which I'm afraid is compacted black bag waste, and which is laid underneath and on top of the other waste in the cell to protect the cell from being punctured.
Delightful. So what's the Court of Appeal doing looking at fluff?
Well, the short point raised in the appeal was, is the fluff laid at the top of the cell waste and hence liable to landfill tax or not?
I see. Now it's right, isn't it, that this case started off life in May 2018 in the first tier tribunal, which found that fluff was waste and hence HMRC were entitled to landfill tax arising from that waste.
That's quite correct. But then, of course, the upper tribunal overturned the first tier tribunal's decision in January 2020 and held that in fact fluff was not waste.
So what has the Court of Appeal said?
Well, flip-flopping once again, the Court of Appeal has now come along and held that, in fact, the upper tribunal was wrong and the first tribunal was right, and all along, fluff is actually waste that is subject to landfill tax.
Well, it seems pretty plain to me that the seesawing between these different judges tells us at least one thing right at the start. Any case involving the definition of waste is difficult. Indeed, it's rare for a decision of Mr. Justice Fancourt, president of the Upper Tribunal Lands Chamber, to be overturned on appeal. If an eminent judge of the High Court can get this wrong, what chance, one may ask, does a humble waste operator have of correctly identifying what is and what is not waste?
Well, absolutely. The detailed judgment of Lady Justice Rose, now, of course, elevated to the Supreme Court, revolves around a careful consideration of the four key authorities. And it makes the point that even if a material is to be used in some way, that does not necessarily mean that there is no intention to discard it, which is the key test. Lady Rose also warns us against relying too heavily on analogies when ascertaining the meaning of discard in the legislation. I should say that the judgment is also worth a read for the very useful entries from Lord Justice Newgie about the limitation of relying on previous authorities.
Standing back, though, and given the trouble this apparently straightforward issue has given to the judiciary, one can only imagine that waste operators will seriously be considering an appeal to the Supreme Court. Watch this space. Thank you for tuning in for this Environment Law News podcast. For more information on any of these stories, or if you'd like to discuss any of the topics raised in more detail, please contact Six Pump Court on 0207 797 8400, asking for either Christopher Badger or Mark Davies, or contact our colleagues at LexisNexis in the PSL Environment team.